Welcome to the Word of Christ, sermons from Pastor Sean Denzer, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Great Bend, North Dakota, and Peace Lutheran Church in Barney, North Dakota.
The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has saved you." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. 10 lepers cry out, "Jesus, have mercy." And at Jesus' word, sight unseen in fact, a miracle happens. And they are healed. But 9 of them go on like nothing much has happened. What was missing was faith. The 10th man returned to Jesus, praising and thanking him as God in the flesh. And there is no greater indicator of faith than thanksgiving. Wherever our thanksgiving goes flat, we have become functional atheists. Sure, we may believe in God if we're asked about Him, but we live life as if everything were merely happening around us, happening to us, happening because of us, not recognizing that the Lord is endlessly good and unfathomably merciful in everything. We live life as though God did not matter, and as if I mattered most. What will happen tomorrow, we say? How will we survive it? Whatever must we do to save ourselves? A life that is focused on what is yet to come, on what is yet to be done, never has any time for thanksgiving. How can you be thankful for what has not even happened when you do not realize what has been done? Whether we trudge wearily on the same old path that we always were walking, or whether we dart wildly from new idea to new idea, it makes little difference. Apathy and frenzy are both faithless. They cannot see what God has done and give thanks. How then can we presume to find a way to worship Him better then? Dear saints, I think this is our struggle also. I know that it is mine. How easily it is to complain. How quickly we become dissatisfied. How easy it is never to give thanks. How weak and how frivolous our prayers are. And then how easily we give them up. Now we may know something about gratitude, since that is the new trendy thing that we are supposed to be journaling about now. But gratitude is something we take in stride so that we can feel better about ourselves, rather than to return constantly to the giver of all good gifts with thankfulness. Now, I leave it to you to recognize in your particular life these things, to repent of thankfulness, thanklessness, and unbelief, and to ask for God's Holy Spirit to work His fruits of faith in you. But today, especially, I want to consider our life together as a congregation. To think about what we say when we get home to our families about our church. To think about how we talk about this congregation to our neighbors or our close friends, or even just what we think about on our own. And I want especially to consider how much our desire to reach out to others or to stay here and around like we always have, or to change something, maybe even everything, how much these desires come out of our dissatisfaction and out of our fear of the future. Because in each case that they do, faith is what is really missing. Faith is what is lacking. And you can tell because thanksgiving is far from our minds. Thanksgiving gets supplanted either by disappointment in what we once were but no longer are. It gets stifled by fears that everything just seems sure to fail, or it gets delayed by the proud imaginations of our hearts that the future depends on me making the right changes, doing something that then we could be grateful for when at last it happens. It's probably some of all three of these, as it is for me. If you believe that there is low energy in our church, you may be right. Then again, this happens to be the end of summer when for many of us our overstimulated boredom now is giving way to all of the frenzy of increased and thankless work. But is that really it? What is really missing here? When 9 lepers went to the temple and to the priests, they did it in the tradition of their fathers. But they also did it because Exodus and Leviticus, God's own word, said so. And this is probably the most important, they did it because Jesus Christ told them to go and show themselves to the priests. And they did what he said. Now, was it God's word? Was it God's temple? Was it Jesus' command that was lacking in those 9? Or was it faith? Was it a faith that trusts in God's mercy and His promise and gives thanks to Him for every good thing? Was it mom's fault that we summer kids could be bored? Or were we not really just ingrates? Now, instead of all of our complaints or our frustrations or our worries about the future, dear saints, consider with me what there is to be thankful for. Consider how St. Paul, in his day, went around to each town and each city, and he could know for sure that there were 0 Christians there. None. He would find a bunch of pagans. If he was lucky, he might find a few Jews, probably as dull of heart as the 9 lepers. And yet St. Paul entered every new town to preach the gospel with joy. And his letters attest to this. Great thanksgiving. Now, what in the world could St. Paul have been thankful for? St. Paul was thankful that anyone believed. St. Paul knew that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. Even, like he says in our epistle today, that in Christians there is still the flesh raging against the Spirit, remaining opposed to each other, keeping everyone from doing what they want to do. So whenever there was even one Christian, St. Paul knew that God had already worked a miraculous thing, a miracle, apart from anything that Paul had planned or imagined or done. Now contrast that with everything that we have. Contrast that with us. Thanks be to God, there is a Christian congregation of many people, many more than zero and one here. There is a Christian congregation in this town that cannot even keep a bar open. There should be no church here. There never should have been a church here. But thanks be to God, there is a congregation here. And it is a faithful congregation. You are here. And you believe. The Word of God is still being heard in our midst. There are even children singing among us and themselves growing up in this faith. We expect Jesus to be very disappointed in the congregation that he's got when we hear him say in today's gospel, what, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner? But this rhetorical question from Jesus is worth our consideration because obviously the answer is yes, there is only one. But immediately upon asking it, look at what Jesus says. He is not distraught. He is not panicked or disappointed by this. He turns to that Samaritan man with all joy and says, "Rise," and it should be journey. It should not be go your way. It should be come with me, for Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem, to the cross. Jesus praises what really matters. Jesus lifts up all that is necessary for salvation, and he extols the true energy which bears every good fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control by the power of the Spirit. Jesus praises faith. "Your faith has saved you," he says. "Rise." Now, why is it that Jesus is not angry and dissatisfied? Why does Jesus not send this man back to go collect up all those other 9 first? Why doesn't Jesus utterly depart from him and strike all 10 of those guys again with leprosy and say, "This is a lousy congregation indeed. One man and the worst sort, he's a Samaritan. Nobody wants this one." Well, it is lousy if you think as our sinful flesh does. It is lousy if you think that faith is boring, or if you think that faith is easy, or if you think that faith is just an entry-level thing. It is lousy if you are counting and looking for impressive numbers. is lousy if you are like me, always ready to complain or to lose hope, and slow to give thanks and to ask for God's mercy and help. Jesus does not say or think or do any of those things. Because even when we are faithless, He remains faithful. Because He cannot deny Himself. And that is what the Samaritan leper comes to praise Him for. That Jesus, that God, has given Himself to us. That He has come and joined Himself to our flesh. So that He cannot deny us. That He has come to bear our infirmities and our weaknesses, even our sins against Him, our ingratefulness, in His own body on the tree. He loves you. He loves me. And He loves us entirely, undeservedly. God died for you and me. And He died that His word might go out into all the world, even to this place, and bring the Holy Spirit and bring life and salvation and faith to you. That is incredible. That is unbelievable. Which makes the fact that you believe it miraculous. And Jesus knows this. And that is why He does not scoff at such a small church as even one man, one foreigner, one person that nobody likes, who's despised by everyone, but who clings to Jesus in faith. He says, "That is my bride. That is my church. And I never grow bored of you." God grant us an increase in faith. I am asking that God would send to us His Holy Spirit, and that He would shake off all of the many things that have stifled our thanksgiving. Including my own frenzy, including our boredom, our indifference to hearing God's word in the divine service, this most wonderful thing, that God's own blood, which saved us, is even put into us to heal and to cleanse us. Now that is amazing. Now, how can it be that as many as 9 out of 10 of us do not even recognize that, maybe? If you've become indifferent to what happens in your church every Sunday, I think you should also come to Bible class every Sunday in the coming weeks and learn with me again about the divine service and why it is that we say and do the things that we do here. Because then you will learn what the Samaritan leper shows so clearly and what Jesus praises for all of us today. That the highest worship of God is faith that trusts in Christ and is eager more and more, returning for it in fact, to receive the forgiveness of sins that He gives. Jesus praises this faith. He delights in it because He is faith's object and its creator. And wherever Jesus renews and strengthens faith like this, He promises that He also gives to us His Holy Spirit to renew and to strengthen us in love, joy, peace, patience, and every good fruit of faith as well. God, restore to us all the joy of His salvation and the knowledge that we are, even now, every day, despite all odds, privileged to fall on our knees in thanksgiving and praise before our God, and to do it just as this Samaritan did, both before his word and even before his very flesh. Now, this is no small matter, dear saints. Do not be ungrateful for it, for this is the faith that saves you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Word of Christ. You can find more sermons at verbachristi.blogspot.com. And if you have need to contact Pastor Denzer, you can email him at pastor@denzer.org. That's pastor@denzer.org. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Amen.